Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Brackets out. Top four seeds looking strong. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So you have Auburn as your number one overall seed, then Duke, Houston, and Florida. And Perloff, I ask you this question as we're asking you today, what is your strategy for filling out the bracket? Now, I've told you I pick the best player in the tournament and I roll with them. It's not worked a lot, but that's my strategy. Also, you got to go with the big upsets, the 13 seeds over the fours, obviously the 12 fives. Here's a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Could you go with coach on the who has the most to lose? You know, is it possible one of your strategies besides cats over dogs or birds over fish or whatever you want to do could also be the coach that's feeling the most vulnerable right now?
Give me an example of historically how that has worked out.
Well, I don't have it for you, but I will tell
that
you
doesn't
in this
make any
tournament.
Sense. The reason they're vulnerable is because they probably aren't that great. So I would go the other way.
I would tell you in this tournament, the one coach that I think has the most to lose and the one who's feeling the heat the most has got to be Hubert Davis of North Carolina. This is the one team that universally we are saying should not be in this tournament. The team that looked like they got an assist because A, the brand, B, they did play a lot of the good teams, but they lost basically to all of them, and three, they had their athletic director was the chairman of the selection committee. Now, he had to recuse himself every time they were talking about North Carolina, but as I saw someone tweet, I forgot who put this out there. He's there when they roll in the Sunday bar, kind of implying he's got a lot of connections in the room. So to me, if the North Carolina Tar Heels lose in the first four to San Diego State, it's just going to validate and solidify what everyone thinks, which is they got a leg up just because they're a blue blood or whatever. They got an assist, and they should not be in the field.
Well, to be fair, they took Duke, who's the number two seed in the entire thing, to the limit in the ACC tournament.
No Flag, no Brown, not as good of a win there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
They Duke lost three times to Duke this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, obviously, they're playing in. I'm just saying, they're not that ridiculous. I think there's a little bit, if it wasn't that Bubba Cunningham was the overall chair, and you have a 30-something, what is it? What's their KenPom? 33, 31?
Something like that.
And West Virginia's 51. It would not be as controversial. I think they're getting more attention, ironically, because they're a blue blood, and because they're North Carolina, and because we all want to see them. If it was just some other team over West Virginia, I don't think it would cause all this furor. Because it has been the story of Sunday night and Monday morning is college basketball writers are so upset by this. But to me, it doesn't seem that egregious when you have this gaudy KenPom number. And I know they're 1-12 against quad one teams, but what about quad two, Maggie? I say that because I've never heard more people say quad one and quad two like it's something that's part of their normal vocabulary than this 2 day period.
Well, this is the time of year when you got to break out the quad one and the quad two. Here's the thing about quad two wins. Those are not teams that have made the tournament. So congrats. You went like 8-0 against quad twos. All of those teams are going to the NIT and the CBT and the HGH. I don't even know what they're called.
SAT.
Yeah.
THC.
Whatever you want. THC. That's good for our show. But I'm just saying the quad twos don't matter. And by the way, the North Carolina Tar Heels also have a quad three loss. So, you know,
when did the quad, real talk, when did the quads start?
Anyone know? It's been around for a while. It's been years ago.
Years?
I saw the net started in 2018, and that everyone talks about like it's been around for 40 years, the net ranking. I'm not sure the quad has been around that long, but everyone's saying quad one with this 1-12 quad one, like it flows off their tongues. Anyway. But again, don't you think this is just North Carolina hate and because they're so visible?
I think it's a little of that. I think it's a little of the, but like North Carolina to me is not as polarizing as Duke. North Carolina is the state school, has always been a little, I don't say more likable.
Yeah.
You can definitely root against guys, but they're not as polarizing because they don't seem as
preppy and obnoxious as Duke. Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. So there you go. So that's number one.
Yeah, everybody. Duke is the most polarizing team in the sport, obviously.
And I think you have the fact that the athletic director is the head of the selection committee, I think, is rubbing people the wrong way. Now, that just happens to be like the, that's just like how it landed this year. No one thought that North Carolina was going to be this disappointing. But I think Hubert Davis is the coach who's now feeling the most pressure to at least get to what? You got to win at least two games?
Well, that being said, I mean, what if he didn't make the tournament?
That would be a lot of pressure, too. Now, listen, the guy went to the national championship game a few years ago.
Yeah.
But that was the first year after Roy Williams retired. You could say it was Roy's guys.
No, I know. And everybody kind of likes Hubert Davis, so it's weird. It would have been, what, missing the tournament two times in 3 years? Yeah, I don't know, though, if they have to. It feels weird saying there's a lot of pressure on that low of a seed, though. You're saying like he loses, he's out?
Because, who do you think is facing the most pressure? Which coach?
Well, I mean, I think there's pressure on Shire because he's still talking about it being in the shadow. If he disappoints again, I think there's definitely pressure on Houston and Sampson. I mean, like, how many times are we going to be at one seed?
Kelvin Sampson, I can see that too. The one thing about Kelvin Sampson, though, I think they feel so lucky to have him at Houston. Like, he turned around a bottom feeder program, like a once proud program that had fell into hard times, and he has sort of gotten them out and the transition into the Big 12. I think they love Kelvin Sampson, even though you're right, this is the third straight year with a one seed, and, you know, when are you going to win it all?
Yeah, do you have any, I mean, listen, Bruce Pearl disappointed last year.
Yeah, but lost to Yale in the first round.
This feels like a completely different team. I feel like the old guys, the famous guys, a lot of them are kind of playing with house money a little bit. Patino, no one thought they would get this good this fast, right? Just say Johns. Calipari just got to Arkansas. Bill Self, he's already proven that he is a Hall of Famer. I'm not sure that these old guys, do they have a lot to prove? We started this by talking about coaches with a lot to prove. I feel like nothing but good things were coming for Rick Pitino.
Well, just wait 5 minutes.
I mean, if they lose,
I don't know, Rick Pitino.
Do you think that people kill them for losing?
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, you know, you can't get in trouble for the same old type of violations that you used to, like that Rick Pitino got fired from Louisville for. You know, taking bribes from sneaker companies to direct your players to side with them once they get into the NBA. A little more of a gray area now, but people did go to jail for that kind of thing not that long ago. So, listen, Pitino can always find the rake. You know, and I don't know if maybe he's much older now and maybe he's a little less. There's just fewer violations and fewer ways to get in trouble in college basketball. But Patino's never far from a scandal.
Yeah, but that nobody cares about college scandal. I mean, Yahoo's trying to keep that thing alive. Players should get paid. That's the bottom line. So I'm not worried about that. My question is, if he loses in the second round, it's just a massive, massive letdown.
Yep. And imagine Pitino versus Calipari. That would be the second round matchup. If St. John's beats Omaha in the first round, and if Arkansas can beat Kansas, who is having a very down year by their standards, for sure, If Calipari can beat Bill Self in Kansas, and that sets up Patino and Calipari, the former in-state rivals with each other, Kentucky-Louisville, and from what I understand, these two dudes despise each other. So that could be very fun.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, so that's happening in the West region. It would happen in Providence, which is funny and I guess ironic because that's one of the places where Rick Pitino really made his name.
The funny thing is, too, Pitino's on a victory tour. He's just...
This dude.
He is. Let everyone know he's back. He's actually very funny in some of these press conferences. I don't know if you've got to watch him, but he is just... I've never seen a guy whose head is held higher than Rick Pitino right now.
No, six different team that he's now taken to an NCAA tournament. It's a huge accomplishment. Forgive me, though. I find it hard to root for Rick Pitino still. And again, I know that some of these scandals maybe sound quaint at this point. It's like, oh, haha, pat on the head. That was a different college basketball. But Pitino's had many. And, you know, I know college basketball coaches and college football coaches, they all lie about how they're never going to leave this place. And then they do. Said he was never going to leave Iona. Then he leaves for St. John's. And I don't know. There's just something that's always been unsavory to me about Rick Pitino. He's an all-time legendary coach, but he gives me the ick, if you will, what the kids say today. So more I'm rooting for the players. The players, I think, have done an amazing job, but I can't count myself as some big Rick Pitino fan.
Any more than any 90s or 2000s college basketball coach?
Well, again, like some of the scandals seem quaint, like what Calvin Sampson. I mean, that wouldn't even like pass the smell test today for what he got in trouble for. But I don't, you know, Bill Self and Sean Miller and Calipari and Will Wade and these guys were people went to jail to cover because they couldn't nail the coaches. So they nailed these lower level sort of bag men and they were taking bribes from the sneaker companies. Like I just, it's a little gross to me.
Yeah. To me, it was gross that they didn't pay these players. That I think the administrators were super gross.
That doesn't excuse the coaches for breaking the law.
But the people who went over after those people for breaking the law were scumbags too, in my opinion. Like this was a gigantic system to funnel the money to the wrong people in the sport. And
the coaches made a lot of money off of that.
Yeah, I know, but
they're not innocent in this.
Going to jail for this, it was so stupid. I mean, this entire sport was a gigantic scam for 100 years. So I can't get my gander up for some college basketball recruiting scandal. They should have been paying these players forever.
What about the prostitutes though to the dorm?
Yeah, the prostitutes and the dorm named after his brother-in-law who died in 9/11. Like to say you didn't know anything about this when the guy who was paying these women said you knew. I can't get there with Pitino. Again, happy for the students, happy for the players. It's nothing against them. I just find him a little hard to root for.
Listen, as a former JV player, it's competitive to get us to come to your school.
necessary.
My knowledge of all this, of course, is from He Got Game when Jesus Shuttleworth had two women. Well, honestly, if they had just paid the players, they wouldn't have to use these things like prostitutes coming in the dorm to get people there. It was a totally corrupt system. It still is corrupt in many ways. So I'm not, again, I do not like going back and killing. I look at Pitino at these press conferences. I think people are with me. I don't think the outrage is still there. It almost feels like because of his age, too,
and
that everyone's forgiven him.
He's Rick Pitino. I mean, he walks into a room. He's got so much gravitas. He's got so much, had so much success. Believe me, I'm in the minority here. I can't.
I mean, John Wooden cheated, and he's considered the greatest coach of all time. He had a bag man. Everybody knows about it.
I get that. But with Pitino, it's multiple different scandals of every type of flavor and variety. So, you know, forgive me.
Don't forget the Italian restaurant, too.
I wish I could forget the Italian restaurant.
That's the only one I remember, by the way. I don't even know the other scandals.
The fact that we know the place and, like, how that went down with Pitino had an affair and, you know,
It was a quick affair. Let's put it that way.
That's what she said. Again, how do we know all this? And you're still going to be like, yeah, Pitino.
That guy's a movie character.
Isn't he, though?
It's insane.
The movie about Pitino? I'm sure it's coming.
It's coming. Oh, especially with this. St. John's wins a championship or goes to the Final Four. That movie is being written today.
I'll tell you what. I was at the final St. John's home game when he came out in that white suit. The Garden erupted. That dude.
That Colonel Sanders suit that he's been rocking for a while. They love that one. 855-212-4227. Okay. Put Pitino aside for a second. They're the 2 seed in the West region, open with Omaha, and then if they get past that, it's the winner of Kansas and Arkansas. So really, really cool coaching matchup, multiple Hall of Famers. You can play along with us You can try to beat us. And the reason you can do that is because our pal Nick in Texas is, again, the proprietor of Pearl Jam. Now we're up to season 4. He created the bracket. You can get it on all of our social media channels right now. And Nick joins us from his home in Texas. Nick, how you doing, pal? I can't believe we're at season 4 of the Pearl Jam. This is nuts.
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you feeling lucky today?
Yes. And feeling lucky and feeling grateful, Nick, that you're with us for another year to do this, because this was your brainchild, this was your baby, and it's only grown every single season.
Yeah, so this should be the biggest year that we've had in this last 4 years. So it's very exciting. Season 4 of Pearl Jam is live. It's up and going on all the platforms like you mentioned. So we got it up and going. So, yeah, let's test your luck. Let's get as many people as we can in there. Grab your grandma, grab your grandpa, grab everybody in now. Let's get everybody in these brackets.
Your pets?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna take your grandma down in this one. She can join, but get ready to lose. Yeah, so Nick, how you feeling about your bracket this year? Are you gonna, you've never won. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. I put in my picks. It looks like I keep ending up with University of Houston. So they look tough the other night versus Arizona. So I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to roll with them this year.
Hey, Nick, we're debating, is Texas part of the South? You are from Texas.
Nick's from Iowa, aren't you? And you live in Texas.
Correct, yes.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Iowa. So, yeah, let's just go with it. Yes, down in the South, exactly where it's at, yes.
Oh, okay.
That was, we had a big question about geography. Nick, here's the most important question. Are your boys going to fill out brackets, and have they done it already?
They are. They're actually excited to participate this year. They're understanding a little bit more. My youngest wanted to play basketball this year, so he's been paying attention a little bit more. So, yeah, we'll get a couple more of participants with my boys. But let's try to blow it out this year. I'm really excited. They came up with a great logo I saw, so I'm very, very stoked for this year's season 4.
Nick, it's awesome. We still have a special yet-to-be-revealed prize for the winner of Maggie and Perloff, Pearl Jam season 4. The bracket is live. Nick, you're the best. Thanks so much for doing this, man. I know it's a labor of love for you, so thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, tell your family we said hi. And thank you to Andrew Kaplan, who came up with a great logo for Pearl Jam Season 4. Live now, all over the Maggie and Perloff social channels. Come get some.
Yeah, this is a stressful time of year because our names are on this bracket. And we got to show up this year, Mag. Maybe we should collaborate.
No.
And no, this is my plan. Not collaborate. We'll definitely... Oh, okay, like you're some expert
here. No, I'm not. I think I've come in bottom 10 every single year.
So I'll take one Final Four, and you take another Final Four. One of us has to represent here. One of us has to be alive on the final weekend.
I don't know. Sometimes I find the more that I think about this, the worse I do.
You're penciling Duke into that champions box here at the end. That feels... I mean, listen, Duke's got an easy bracket. They should be in the Final Four, but it is... There are some hard choices. When you actually sit and put pen to paper, it's kind of hard to see, you know, you always have trouble seeing the one seeds lose, but we know Auburn is really good. We know Florida's really good. Houston, they are tough and talented. LJ Cryer, EJ and I were just talking about that. He's already won a title at Baylor 15 years ago.
Still in college basketball.
Mark Sears is like 34 years old in Alabama. There are some, that's why I like my old guy theory. I am combing these brackets to find the oldest players. It's really funny that you could, now with the COVID year, you get guys who are 23, 24. Cooper Flagg, he just turned 18.
Yep, he did. So my bracket strategy is I pick the best player in the tournament and I go with them. But I'm thinking about adding two new things this year, two new wrinkles.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to just pick every 13 seed over the 4 seed, and I'm going to pick every 12 over the 5. And I think that's going to cover my bases as far as upsets are concerned.
So
just go big.
That means you're going to have to knock out Michigan, though. Who really shouldn't be a 5.
I don't think Michigan should be a 5.
Also,
just won the Big Ten tournament, and Wisconsin lost, and Wisconsin seeded
3,
and Michigan's 5.
Also, I saw on the selection show, Oregon's never loses in this spot. Oregon's really good in the first round.
Dana Altman, his ability to be a chameleon as a head coach. It makes it very hard to beat them.
I know. Yeah. And I know we have all of our fans in Eugene and Portland, and I hate to go against them. I'm just saying blanket like strategy.
You're wearing Oregon green, Mackie.
I know. Well, everyone's wearing green today.
Also, last year, McNeese was everybody. Remember, we all were in the McNeese?
Yeah, and guess what happened?
They lost. They lost.
My Zags, and they got crushed.
Yeah, and now they're playing a pretty good team in Clemson. Okay, I think you should stick with this strategy.
Well, I love High Point. That's where this all really started. But yeah. Now Seth Davis was on. I called the High Point thing like a week or two ago. Seth Davis on the selection show last night picked High Point to go to the Elite Eight. I was like, Seth, stop stealing my takes.
I think we had the call that had the best strategy. I'm going with James in L.A. That second
place,
picking that second place conference team is very smart. A lot of those teams lost in the conference tournament, which means they didn't wear their guys out for a long. It's a pretty good strategy, I feel like.
I've wondered a lot about that, except for UConn last 2 years, right?
Yeah, but they played a conference that was not as strong. Like, yeah, the Big East had three teams last year.
Also, their title game is on Saturday, not
right,
Sunday.
Right, it's a little different.
What do you guys think about the teams have to play in Denver? Are you worried about the altitude impacting? Like, Michigan just had to play three games in 3 days.
Sure.
Now they have to go to Denver to take on
San Diego.
UC San Diego.
And that's an interesting game because San Diego plays a fast pace, and they're a very high-scoring team.
And I think this is Thursday, so you don't have a lot of time.
So Thursday, and Michigan has 2 7-footers, too.
Yeah, those guys are good, though.
What about also
Wilson, yeah, I know.
Auburn having to go to Lexington and play possibly Louisville? Except, though, Louisville's playing Creighton. Creighton still has that 7-footer guy. He's been there forever, right?
Kalkbrenner?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that guy since... We were in college.
Dawn of man.
Yeah, I know.
Point guard Stephen Ashworth also has been college basketball for 8 years.
Oh, yeah. There's some old dudes in this tournament, which is fun. Yeah, this is, by the way, I know you always love Grand Canyon.
I love a Grand Canyon. I love a High Point.
Yes.
Anything that sounds somewhat directional and kind of like it belongs in nature. Sure. Why not? You know me, Miss Outdoors. 855-212-4227. Okay, your bracket strategy, let us know, because Perloff's taking notes. Had some good ones here. We will get into a little of the NFL news from the weekend, but we've got so much college basketball. Again, go to Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Perloff on Facebook, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram. Everywhere that you can possibly find us on social media, that's where you can find the link to Pearl Jam Season 4, our bracket challenge. Go sign up and play against us.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. The office is aflutter with different bracket strategies here. The SEC, Maggie, it's a big question mark. It's a lot of teams there. And I got to tell you, a lot of people, and we'll get into it later, but they are a lot of big, talented teams. I like the old guys, Maggie. You like the talented players.
Yeah, that's the strategy that I use. The best player in the tournament, that's who I pick to win the tournament. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got their own strategies, but I'm thinking about just going blanket 13 seeds over fours this year and 12s over fives, because the way some of these challenges work, and you can sign up for the Maggie and Perloff Pearl Jam Season 4 Bracket Challenge. You can get the link in all of our socials. You get more points for the upsets, right? So
right.
In some ways it can be a good strategy because you can get points early if you nail some of these, you know, some of these big upsets as opposed to just going chalk.
Right, but then you risk if a four or a five seed goes on a big run and you have them out in the first round, say Texas A&M or something, and then you're in trouble. But then again, it's always who's bold, who's going to have the eight seed in the final four, who's going to have even the five seed, because I've done the ones where I go 1-1-1-1 and
never worked.
It happened once, right? It happened recently, but it's only happened once in history. Double check that.
855-212-4227. We're also asking you a couple more questions. One, are you rooting for Rick Pitino? It's funny to me to see this as like this all-time comeback story. It's like, well, what are you coming back from? It's like, well, pretty big scandal. And, you know, he did go to the tournament with Iona, the last team that he was coaching. This is the sixth team that he's taken to the NCAA tournament. Are you rooting for Rick Pitino as one of the good stories coming out? I find it hard to root for him. So many scandals through so many years. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for the players. It's not about them. I understand wanting to play for Rick Pitino. I just can't really bring myself to be like, yes, let's cheer for this dude.
I don't know. Statue of limitations all feels like ancient history, all that stuff. By the way, four Final Fours, 2008 and three. Four number one seeds made the Final Four in 2008 And it almost happened in 2015. So it does happen, Meg.
Let's go to George, who's in L.A. George, what's your strategy for filling out a bracket?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Texas Tech. I don't know if I told you, but I grew up in Lubbock. So, and another thing about Texas, though, you know this as when I was a kid, Texas Tech is in the Panhandle, so that's West Texas or right by New Mexico, so it's not really the South.
Okay.
South is more like Houston and Sabine Pass and that area, because Texas is a very large state, 1,000 miles from Louisiana to New Mexico. But anyway, yeah, I'm going with Texas Tech. I played there a long time ago, but it don't matter about me. But I think they're a pretty good team. They beat Houston once in the bracket, and they could be a good pick.
Who's the most famous person you played against?
Joe Montana, the Cotton Bowl, intercepted him. But I don't want to talk about me.
George. You've been calling in about the Rams for the last year, and you never mentioned that you picked off Joe Montana in the Cotton Bowl? That's
in the
sick.
Game? The most one of the top five most famous games of all time?
Yeah, and also I have a connection with the Rams from 1980, but I don't want to discuss me.
Whoa, George, we got a celebrity in our midst. George, you should make sure you sign up for Pearl Jam Season 4, the Maggie Perloff Bracket Challenge, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to go on Facebook and look it up.
Fantastic.
Wait.
You want to talk more to George about
picking off Joe Montana. Wait, did you go to Tech or? Okay, so not the University of Houston.
I played at Texas Tech in the late 70s, early 80s.
So not that one where Montana rolled for the touchdown in the Cotton Bowl. A different game.
No, I was there.
No, that's the game, Pearl.
But that was against University of Houston, right?
No, it wasn't a game against Houston. It was a game against Texas Tech.
Okay, so we're talking about two different games.
Yeah.
Okay. George, look at that. Thank you for the phone call. George is funny because we actually told Kyron Williams, we're like, we have this super fan who calls from L.A. who loves the Rams so much. We told him that at the Super Bowl. Had we known that George had picked off Joe Montana, would have made the story a little bit better. Okay, Texas Tech. They're a 3 seed in the West region. They will take on UNC Wilmington first, but they're in that same part of the bracket that has St. John's as the 2 seed with Rick Pitino and Bill Self and John Calipari facing off in the first round with Kansas plays Arkansas. This all goes down in Providence, Rhode Island.
Can't wait.
Okay. Bogish is here. What's the matter?
I can't find a Notre Dame Texas Tech Cotton Bowl.
I'm positive that famous game was against Houston. I went to the Cotton Bowl and reenacted it once.
That's what I just found. That I didn't realize it was the chicken soup game. Like when Montana was sick. But like
it's a roll right game.
It's against Houston.
Yeah.
Maybe was there a different game?
There must have been. They must have played in the Cotton Bowl.
77 through 81, and there's a Notre Dame Texas straight up one, but that's it. There's no Texas Tech Cotton Bowl that I can find unless I can't type or read.
Maybe George played for Texas and Texas Tech.
Maybe he just can't read, Bogish.
I want to believe George here.
That's not something good.
Well, maybe Texas Tech.
It happened.
Would there be some reason why Texas Tech played a regular season game in the Cotton Bowl? I know.
But not in the Cotton Bowl, but at the Cotton Bowl.
Literally at the venue.
Maybe the venue. And
that
not the game.
Maybe makes some sense.
But I mean, it'd be weird. I don't know why they would play. I know that they play the Red Rivalry game there.
Right. That would make that. Maybe what we're doing. It's not in the Cotton Bowl on January 1st, but it's just at the Cotton Bowl. Okay.
All right, now we got to go through all of the game logs of Texas Tech going back to the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
So who would like to volunteer for that?
Well, I've been doing it.
Oh, okay. EJ's are all over.
I'm having trouble finding a Texas Tech Notre Dame game.
I just did a quick Google, and the last time they played, Texas Tech won 39-0 in 1932, and I don't think George was on that team.
That'd be amazing.
He must have picked off a different famous quarterback.
A different Joe Montana?
No, it wasn't Joe Montana. Maybe it was Dan Marino or something. I'm not saying it was Dan, but right. I think maybe he's confusing
George,
the quarterback.
Yeah.
The only time Tech and Notre Dame played was 1932. That's their only game.
I mean, that was a memorable game.
Yeah. Not for George, though.
Oh, no.
I'm obsessed with this now.
No. Me too.
Now we got to get to the bottom of it. That will happen. Meanwhile, Bogish has headlines for us on, what is this, Selection Sunday, and now this is Reaction Monday.
Mm-hmm. But first, some house cleaning, guys, because one of us hosted yesterday morning on WFAN here in New York. Pearl, not me. Not Manny.
I was asleep.
It was EJ. And apparently, EJ, I don't know if you are aware of this, but about 25 minutes ago, a woman named Joyce from New Jersey called the fan and she does not like you, specifically for one reason.
I woke up yesterday morning to E.J. Stewart signing off at 6:53 in the morning, promoting the viewers listening to him and Maggie and Perloff from 6 to 10 in the morning. How does WFAN allow a guest DJ on the weekend to promote over Boomer and Gio?
It's a fair question.
Joyce, you narc. Joyce, you're dead to us. Get out of here, Joyce. EJ can say whatever he wants. I'm sorry, EJ. You can speak for yourself.
So if Joyce would have listened maybe 10 minutes earlier, I literally said, hey, if you're not listening to Boomer and Gio, check out the Maggie and Perloff show. And I said, if you are listening to Boomer and Gio, find us on the podcast.
Definitely.
I absolutely said that in that last segment. And then when I signed off again... That. That's when I just said us. I didn't mention Boomer J at that point, but it's a, you know, I have 30 seconds with this music coming down. I can't say everything.
Well done, EJ.
Yeah, fantastic job, dude. And, you know, Joyce can go kick rocks because, you know, this is the number one.
Maggie, do you know Joyce? You said, you said goodbye to her.
She's like, kick rocks. She can eat glass.
Yeah, no, I don't know Joyce. I live in New Jersey, but I don't know everyone who lives in New Jersey. No, I'm not familiar with Joyce. She didn't call...
I wondered if you had a history back in the day with Joyce.
No.
Goodbye to Joyce.
You know, when I was hosting on Fan, most of the women actually who called in tended to like me because I was one of the only women who was on at the time. So they tended to be supportive. Not Joyce. Hater in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the women are the best callers. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I obviously didn't have Joyce. She didn't want to call my show.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's messed up, Joyce.
Yeah, I have to be honest.
Selective like
Joyce against Maggie in a corner in Newark, I'm down.
Joyce probably kicked my butt.
I'm a little disappointed, though. Because, Bogus, I thought you were setting me up for a bad EJ take. I thought he had a bad take that Joyce was going to be mad at. Something about the Knicks, perhaps? I don't know.
No,
I thought we were going to get some, just promoting the show is fun, but I was hoping he really screwed something up.
I mean, he might have. I'll keep listening to this event.
EJ, any big mistakes on Sunday morning?
Never know.
Yeah.
Not going to hear from me.
Joyce opened the floodgates. A whole bank of EJ complaints on their phone system right now.
EJ, star of the show, the Cincinnati Bengals will never pay T. Higgins over my dead body.
Whoops.
No, that's great.
That was a big meaty men slapping meat.
Boomer, for the record, Boomer did defend you, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. I was like, man, I got heat with Boomer and Gio.
No.
The last people you want to have heat with in here.
As far as I can tell, only Joyce has an issue with what you did.
By the way, so just to
she's
be clear.
She's the one person in the tri-state area.
It's okay for Boomer and Gio to talk about how awkwardly I walk around the office and make fun of me ad nauseum, but we promote the show a little bit, so they can only selectively talk about our show. Is that how it works?
Beefcake, boys. I wasn't about the acting.
Again, Boomer is on your side, but I will throw this out because it's happened more than once. It happened most recently last week where Boomer walked by and Pearl was out in the newsroom talking to us at like 8:59, and Boomer said, oh, it must be nice being done at 9 o'clock. And we were like, no, again, there's a whole other hour of the show.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We're just peons to Boomer. There's no doubt about it.
Jeez.
Oh man.
He sees us at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yes.
He thinks we were off the air, though, an hour.
We're just hanging out here?
Yeah, so I don't know.
This four-hour block has been designed to mimic their 4 hours for multiple variations of whatever show has been here.
But there's an awkward 3 minutes where we're done and they're not quite done. What is the clock a little different?
Yeah, because they go
there?
All the way till 10.
Yeah.
Or past that. They don't have that hard, concrete stop time that we do.
No. The commercial breaks on Fan are just what's sold.
They're suggestions.
Yeah, that's also
yes,
true.
They are.
Yeah, during the pandemic, they're like, all right, you're doing a four-hour show and you have 2 minutes of commercials. Like, wait, what?
We've also shorten the updates to 10 seconds.
That's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
No, it was great. Good job, EJ.
Thank you. And by the way, check us out every Monday through Friday on the Maggie Furlong Show.
And sign up for our bracket challenge, which is on all of our social channels. Back to you, Bo.
Josh, I hope you choke on water. Let me now tack this onto your North Carolina debate. Bracketproject.com tracks the legit bracket projections for men's March Madness. They have 111 total brackets. They throw into a machine. It spits out the likelihood of teams making the actual field. Not one of these 111 had North Carolina in their final projection, and then the Tar Heels made the actual field. That's never happened before at this website.
And they're an 11 seed. Yeah. It's not like they snuck in here with a 15 or something.
Well, don't forget, though, they did sneak in. They are the last team in the field, even though they are an 11 seed. That's the last spot where a Power 5 conference team can go. And this is Keith Gill, who had to be the messenger next to Bubba Cunningham yesterday. He's the Sun Belt commissioner. And this is the specifics of how North Carolina got in the 68 yesterday.
If Memphis won that game, then that was going to free up a spot in the tournament, and that was going to be North Carolina. If UAB had won, then Memphis was going to be in the tournament. UAB would have been in the tournament, and North Carolina would have been the first team out. And so that process played out today. Memphis won, and that put North Carolina in the field.
Yeah, and that was in the American title game.
Doesn't answer the question, because I understand that the conference champion for the American Athletic Conference got in. But that doesn't explain why North Carolina got in over West Virginia. Indiana, that was a tough season.
Indiana has some good wins, too, though.
They had better wins than North Carolina. Yeah. But it doesn't explain why North Carolina got in over West Virginia.
Right. It doesn't explain why they were ahead of them on the list of teams to get in if there was a spot. And
they
should have
just said the KenPom. Like, that's the answer. Well,
what he kept emphasizing, too, was that, like, hey, this is a contingency bracket, right? So he was saying that North Carolina didn't get some kind of home cooking, because if Memphis would have lost, which was possible because UAB is pretty good.
They almost lost in their semifinal, too, Memphis.
Right, exactly. So he's saying, like, we didn't know Memphis was going to win the tournament. Like, North Carolina got in purely because Memphis won, and they would have been out. If North Carolina's out and UAB wins, we're not even having this conversation. Sure. I think was why he kept bringing that up.
I got to give that guy respect. He answered a completely different question. It was like, he should go in front of Congress with that pivot on there. He's like, well, how come North Carolina is in over West Virginia? Here's the deal. Memphis and UAB. Like, dude, you got to give him credit. It sounds like a guy on 60 Minutes who's getting interviewed and just for the tobacco companies and has to lie. Right. It's a totally different answer, isn't it? It has nothing to do with the question.
It's like the follow-up answer to, once you try to explain why they were team whatever, 60, whatever the number is, like, which goes back to what EJ was saying in terms of, like, their the wins above bubble, whatever it's called, and like the rest of their resume. When you explain why they're ahead of West Virginia, then you say, because Memphis won and there was no bid stealer, we could put them in. It's a double-pronged answer, because they're not in if things had gone differently Saturday or Sunday.
I think that this guy getting to sit next to Bubba Cunningham, it was just like an airbag for Cunningham.
100%.
Because Cunningham is the athletic director for UNC, who had to technically leave the room while they're discussing North Carolina. But, like, there's relationships. I'm not saying there's favors being done. I'm not alleging that sort of blatant impropriety, but it looks terrible.
It's tough, right? Because like you said, like, even though the guy, and they made it clear that, you know, Cunningham is not in the conversations about North Carolina, you've been working with this guy for
months,
right? Yeah. So, like, I mean, you probably feel some affinity to him. Like, I assume everybody doesn't hate Bubba Cunningham on the committee, right? Mm-hmm. So there is still going to be some implicit bias that you're working with someone who works with a team who's part of this conversation. Okay,
they're always going to have somebody from some school. I mean, Ward Manuel's from some school, right? I mean, there's always somebody.
Everybody on the committee is an active conference commissioner or an athletic director. Right. What's the right word here? Civilians. Everyone's in the game, which is the bigger argument.
So here's a question. When Bubba Cunningham has to leave the room when they're talking about North Carolina, do you think that's where he first saw the photo of Belichick and his girlfriend on the beach? Or do you think that someone else sent it to him?
He's getting that sooner. He's getting that one right away.
He didn't just, like, go out in the hallway and he's scrolling and he's like, oh, Belichick and his girlfriend are playing Airplane on the beach.
He's going through the seeding of, like, all right, we're going to put Memphis in this 5 seed. And what?
And
the text
phone
I just
buzz.
Got? What the hell is this?
Never had a cup of coffee in my life.
I don't understand why they were playing Airplane like that on the
beach. I know how interested you are in that subject.
And who's taking the picture?
Oh, that's a good question.
Self-timer, baby. Self-timer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who would be the third wheel of this awkward date? So it's Belichick on the beach.
Her actual boyfriend.
If anyone has ever had a kid and played Airplane with them before, I'm sure we've all done it.
Nope.
Bogish, Pearl.
Yeah, with a kid, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you know, you put your kid up, you're laying down.
She's a kid.
Put your kid up.
In this case, it's a grandkid, actually. It's not a kid. It's literally a grandkid.
What's actually more awkward, doing that with your 24-year-old girlfriend or 24-year-old granddaughter?
I gotta say, Bill Belichick, good leg strength.
Yeah.
For a 70-something-year-old? I mean, I'm not that Jordan Hudson is very small, we saw, but
she's
like...
She's very small.
Yeah, but still. I mean, you're lifting a grown person.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
It's all that time on that. Doesn't he on the treadmill while he's watching tape or whatever? This is so awkward.
It's the worst.
It's the worst photo. And the other part is, why is she wearing headphones? Like, there's just so many things about
this. To not listen to him talk. Who wants to hear about two high safeties while I'm on the beach, bro? I'm trying to listen to some Lil Uzi.
You think Jordan listened to Lil Uzi?
Probably not, but that's what I was listening to.
Oh, my God.
This is his new Playboy Cardi mixtape.
Bill, you want to listen to his new Playboy Cardi?
Oh, my God.
Has Bill Belichick even signed a bunch of guys? Are they any good?
I appreciate the question.
I've not heard. When they go 6-5 with this girlfriend situation.
Well, we can blame her because she's CC'd on every correspondence.
Eligible, 6-5, bowl eligible.
I feel like they're very relevant now, and they're going to be totally irrelevant by October.
Guy's doing airplanes on the beach. That guy's not doesn't give a damn about winning games.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like, right, exactly. It doesn't feel like he has this methodical plan to bring UNC to the national title game. He's playing with his grandkids on the beach.
Oh my God. I thought for a second maybe Michael Lombardi took the photo. Like, I don't know what's going on.
It was Bubba Cunningham in between. They started talking about UNC.
He's everywhere.
To
I mean, I've never rooted for a relationship to end for all people considered faster than this. Like, this needs to go away.
No.
Yesterday.
Bogus, you're so wrong about this. This thing needs to go to the end of time.
I don't like any of this.
We need the wedding. We need the documentary.
Poo-pooing every Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce storyline for the last year plus, you don't get to root for this one.
Come on.
No.
You don't believe in love?
This ain't love.
All right, end of times in 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, my God.
All right. True. All right, let it roll.
You're wrong for that one. Okay, coming up at the top of the hour.
18 years from now.
Yeah, at least 2027.
Yeah.
Okay. He'll probably actually be winning football games for
He's
going to
outlive
decade.
Us all.
Maybe she'll graduate. Maybe she'll get her BA.
I thought she was a master's student.
Who knows? Who cares?
Master's in what?
Cosmetology. I'm actually not making that up.
Here comes the airplane. Enough.
Is he feeding her now? What is it? Or is she feeding him?
Breaking down the All-22.
Oh, gosh. All right. We got a break. Top of the hour, we reveal the Maggie and Perloff crazy bracket. What was our theme this year? You're going to find out in just minutes.
We don't have time for that.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, just minutes away from revealing the Maggie and Perloff bracket for this tournament season. What is the topic we pick this year? You're going to have to wait and find out at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, you can play along with the Maggie and Perloff Bracket Challenge, which is the traditional men's bracket. You can do that. Pearl Jam Season 4 is up and running. All of our social channels have the link. Go ahead, sign up, and you can play against me and Perloff, and it turns out most of Perloff's extended family.
And all my friends, all six of them.
There you go. So make sure you talk plenty of smack in the comments section as well so that all of Perloff's loved ones see what you're doing and keep it clean. So 855-212-4227. Got a couple questions out there for you. Number one, what's your strategy to filling out a bracket? Has anyone found one that works? Two, are you rooting for Rick Pitino? He's become one of the big storylines of this tournament because it's the sixth team that he's taken to the NCAAs. It's a record. St. John's is a two seed in the West region. But, you know, Rick Pitino's been through a lot of scandals. 855-212-4227. Okay. George is calling back. George in L.A., big Rams fan, found out, played a little bit of football in college and famously picked off Joe Montana in the Cotton Bowl. George, we went back to find the box score and we were having trouble. So did you play for Texas Tech or Texas?
It was Texas my first 2 years and Texas Tech my second 2 years.
Got it.
There
Got it. There we go.
There was, because we're going back through the box scores because we want to find out what happened. And we are looking at Texas Tech versus Notre Dame. They've played, hadn't played since like the 1930s. So we knew that wasn't you.
Yeah, yeah, it could have been me. I was not there then. But Lubbock and Texas Tech and Texas, they don't like each other at all. So, but my first 2 years I was at Texas, but then I went to Texas Tech in the last two.
Okay, so now we're able to solve this mystery. George, I believed you the whole time. I thought that this had to be a mistake. Maybe you went to Texas and Texas Tech. Now we got to the bottom of it, and you picked off Joe Montana at a game in the Cotton Bowl.
Right. And Montana was a very nice young man, but he was kind of frail looking. I mean, be honest with you.
Yeah.
But you can't always judge a book by its cover, you know. Forget about me. But let's make sure you get Texas Tech in that bracket on the basketball.
There you go. That's what you've been saying, George. And thank you for the phone call. And now we got to the bottom of it. EJ's finding the box score, and George did indeed pick off Joe Montana in a big game. Yeah, Montana was never the biggest guy, Pearl. We know that, right? But he was tough as hell.
A bit of a system quarterback, as I've told him to his face. No, I'm just kidding. So Notre Dame, that is a prime Notre Dame era. Isn't that kind of Rudy era? Was Rudy Ruttinger in that game? Possibly. Dan Devine is the head coach. So we're talking big time Notre Dame. That's a lot of fun.
Do you have the box score, EJ? You were able to find it. We're still looking for it.
Box score is hard to find. I had the game log.
Okay.
The pick that happened wasn't a touchdown, so it's hard to find. But Joe Montana was picked off in this game.
Just that one time?
I think it was multiple times, but I'm trying to figure out the box score.
Gotcha. Love it. 1978. You never knew who our listeners are. We've got a lot of really talented people listening to the show. 855-212-4227. Okay, the Maggie and Perloff bracket of craziness gets revealed next. What's our theme for this year? Stay tuned. You'll find out in just minutes.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.